Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester here with Alan Taylor on
our favorite day. No, somebody has a more favorite day than me today. Tom McDonald, because he's at home, like probably still in his pajamas to do his segment and stuff.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Tom, did I call that right?
No comment.
Okay.
Taking the fifth on this one.
Exactly.
Because, yes, I'm in my pajamas. Mike, the greats at the command center. Reed is back. We're glad that everything went well with you, with those crazy wasps.
Reed has recovered from his wasp stinging incident yesterday.
Was it five of them, right?
You gotta
five
be careful.
Of them swarmed him as he came, trying to get out the door for work.
You got to be careful. Today, the church commemorates St. Ephrem. He is a doctor of the church, and it's interesting. He was ordained a deacon, and this is back in the early part of the 4th century. But there's a lot that we're very grateful for him. He battled a lot of heresies at the time, but he was also a poet. And then he wrote hymns and then incorporated the hymns into the liturgy, which at that time was fairly novel. It was new.
Singing.
So St. Ephrem. We ask for your intercession this morning as we pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Pour into our hearts, O Lord, we pray, the Holy Spirit, at whose prompting the deacon, St. Ephrem, exalted in singing of your mysteries, and from whom he received the strength to serve you alone. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coastal Segway Adventures, offering kayak and paddleboard rentals for a fun-filled, hassle-free day on Lake Shelby. To make your reservation, visit CoastalSegwayAdventures.com or call 251-509-TOUR. That's 251-509-8687. Coastal Segway Adventures. Coast the Gulf, coast life.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, June 9, 2023. Four toddlers and two adults were stabbed in a knife attack in a tranquil French mountain town on Thursday, and the government said the suspected assailant was a Syrian refugee. A video of the attack, which was seen on the internet, was taken by a bystander and showed the assailant jumping a low wall into a children's playground and repeatedly lunging at a child in a stroller, pushing aside a woman who tried to fend him off. Two of the wounded children and one adult are in a hospital in a life-threatening condition, while the other victims were less seriously hurt.
What was the motivation for that?
Crazy? Yeah, sad, sick. Supreme Court on Thursday ordered Alabama officials to redraw the state's congressional map to allow for an additional black majority district to account for the fact that the state is 27% black. The decision that affords additional opportunities for minority voting districts comes as a surprise given the conservative leanings of the court. Alabama currently has 7 congressional districts, with 6 represented by Republicans. Justice Clarence Thomas, as part of the dissent in the 5-4 decision, asserted that voting rights acts should not be applied to redistricting. Donald Trump, surprise, was indicted again on Thursday by the federal grand jury in the investigation into his handling of classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, marking the first time in history that the federal government has brought charges against a former president. Trump was charged with 7 counts, a person familiar with the matter, the matter said. This is on the same day the FBI showed documents to the House Oversight Committee that Joe Biden and his son Hunter received $5 million apiece to shake off a corruption investigation in Ukraine. Politics. What a sport. In sports, speaking of that, the Florida Panthers beat the Las Vegas Knights in overtime last night. Vegas now leads the series 2-1. The College World Series Super Regional begins this weekend, dominated by SEC teams, if you look
at that
lineup.
Right.
Yeah.
just means more down here.
There's your weather for it may rain today. There we go.
Okay.
That's your news.
Always look forward to Friday mornings when Media Czar Tom McDonald comes on. Good morning, Tom.
Ellen, did you say the weather was it may rain today?
Yes.
Is that?
That's the official forecast. I'm tired of saying it's going to rain because I've got no rain for weeks over at my house, and I'm out there with the hose.
I mean, I'm just thinking, when you're in South Alabama and you say it may rain today, you're not really going out on a limb.
No.
You pretty much cover your bases pretty well.
Every day.
That's right. Got to appease everyone.
Yep.
So you watched this is on Amazon Prime, this show, right? Or was it a documentary? What was it?
Yes. So this is I watched this week a documentary series called Shiny Happy People, subtitled Duggar Family Secrets,
ooh,
which is kind of a cheesy subtitle. But I am guessing that there are a number of our listeners who remember and are familiar with the old TV show on the TLC network that was called, well, it had various names, but it was at one time called 17 Kids and Counting, and then it was called 18 Kids and Counting, and then it was called 19 Kids and Counting, about the Duggar family.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when this show first came on, it was one of these things where Caroline and I were just sitting down and flipping through, seeing what was on, and we noticed a special about this family and watched it, and then we started watching the show when it became a series. Now, it ran for 10 seasons. This show was on from 2008 until 2015.
Wow.
And we did not, we were not like faithful viewers every week. We would watch it, on occasion if we happened to be around and it was on. But it was kind of fascinating because the family portrayed was so countercultural, with all the other nasty stuff and Kardashians screaming at each other and whatever else is on TV. Here you had a family, a Christian family. They were independent Baptists, Jim, Bob, and Michelle Duggar, who, were open to life and didn't use birth control and had as many kids as the Lord would give them. And they homeschooled their kids, and they lived in this big house that was completely designed for the raising of all these kids. And nine girls and 10 boys all in the end, all with names, first names that started with the letter J, which, you really got to dig deep to get biblical names to start with J when you get up to 19. That's
yes,
a lot.
Indeed.
But they, they seem like good, nice Christian people, and the kids seem like good kids, well-behaved kids, and it was like a breath of fresh air to watch them manage this family. And then, of course, there's the question of how do you manage that many kids? And Todd, frankly, by comparison, your family was small compared to...
What's the son?
One of them. John, Jim, Bob.
Is it Josh?
Josiah.
Yeah, Josh.
Jeremiah.
The oldest boy, I met him at the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and I thanked him for making my family seem small or like normal size. It's like, dude, I would say, at least we're not the Duggars, and I made him laugh.
Yeah, exactly. So, for years, this all, seemed... it seemed perfectly fine and refreshing and positive and all that kind of thing. But then along the way, some things came out about them that were disturbing. And, you mentioned meeting Josh Duggar. He's the oldest boy. He went on to work for the Family Research Council for a brief time. And you probably... we met him in that context. That's
correct.
Probably what he
yes.
was doing in the March for Life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he, some stuff came out about him having reportedly molested his a couple of his sisters when they were younger, and that had never been reported to the police or anything like that. And the family came out and talked about that, and they kind of dealt with that, and the show went on. And, you know, it kind of, that was a, it seemed like a bump in the road, and it went on. But then later, there were reports of Josh's infidelity to his wife, you know, when that whole Ashley Madison thing happened, scandal happened, where all these names were released, of men who had signed up for accounts on that Ashley Madison website, which was basically a cheat on your spouse website. His name came out on that. And this woman came forward and said, you know, who was basically a prostitute, and said she had been with him. And so that was another blow. You know, and this was after he was married and had kids of his own. And then kind of the final nail in the coffin for this whole enterprise was when Josh was arrested, I think it was in 2019, on child pornography charges, and has been subsequently sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison for this. And at that point, the show came to a complete end. Earlier than that, the show had ended, but they started a second show, which was just about the older daughters. They shifted focus away from Jim, Bob, Michelle to the older daughters. But then that even ended when the latest news about Josh had come out and his conviction. So anyway, it, you know, what got off to a nice, pure, good looking start really kind of ended in a very unfortunate and sad way. And then that was kind of the end of that. But now this documentary series has come out. This 4-part documentary series on Amazon, which each episode is, I would say, under an hour, between, you know, 35 to 55 minutes each. And it kind of goes back and examines the whole deal and how they came to be known and came to prominence and where they got this Christian philosophy of life that they practiced. And which even among Christians is, you know, to one extreme of openness to life and to, you know, ideas of male authority and female submission and stuff like that. And they go into, it's not really, it's misleading that it's subtitled Duggar Family Secrets, because it is about them, but it's almost as if they use their family story as sort of a throughway to get to their bigger focus, which is the organization they're a part of that taught these principles that they lived, which was called IBLP, the Institute in Basic Life Principles, which was founded by a minister named Bill Gothard in 1961. And they go into that whole ministry and how that started and developed and the whole philosophy behind that. And it's kind of fascinating. And it's sort of a cautionary tale. If you watch the series, the first episode is, and I saw some Catholic people comment on this on social media. They watched the first episode and then they said, oh, this is supposedly this expose of the Duggars and the Institute of Basic Life Principles. But really what it is they're just bashing Christians who homeschool. They're bashing homeschooling. They're bashing conservative Christians. And I'm not going to watch this anymore. And when you watch the first episode by itself, I can definitely see how people get that impression. You get to the end of the first episode and they've supposedly exposed all these ideas. But by the end of the first episode, you're like, well, I mean, this is just, it seems like this documentary series could just be made by people with an axe to grind who just disagree mm-hmm. with this mm-hmm. lifestyle mm-hmm. and are trying to take these people down. I can definitely see where you can get that impression just watching the first episode. But I would say if you continue and watch the next three, then it really moves down a road where you go, yeah, there's some messed up stuff that was going on here. This is some weird kind of cult-like behavior. And there's definitely the thing we got to be careful about is there's a lot of overlap between what they believe and how they live and, you know, good, solid Christian principles of life. I mean, Todd, your family homeschooled, my family homeschooled for many years. And it's, you know, one of the reasons we do this is to live in a way that's contrary to the culture, to reject what the culture is trying to do to our kids and shape and mold our kids in a way that is Christ-centered and not world-centered. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Duggars were doing. But going beyond that, there's some deeper stuff that's really concerning. And what they try to do in the documentary is connect the whole culture of this institute and basic life principles as sort of see the cultural foundation of that would lead to problems like the ones Josh Duggar had in terms of sexuality and things like that. And I think they do a decent job connecting those dots and to show sort of the peril of misapplying or taking to an extreme the idea of male or fatherly headship and submission of wife and daughters. And so I think I was kind of fascinated by it. Now, certainly there are people, they do a lot of interviews with people in the documentary who were former members of IBLP, and they, you know, some of them may have an axe to grind, but most of them are just, they're now adults who grew up as kids in this program. And this is nationwide. I mean, this is even worldwide. It's all over the place. And this Bill Gothard who runs, it's a really odd fellow. He's teaching these principles of marriage and child rearing that are very specific. And he himself was never married, never had kids.
Huh?
So that's kind of an odd thing.
That is.
The whole thing is kind of fascinating. The documentary is a little uneven. It kind of jumps around a lot, which was annoying to me, but it's definitely not appropriate for family viewing. I mean, this is adult viewing because there are very adult themes going on here.
Which is funny because it's about families and it's not really appropriate for family viewing.
Right. Yeah. I think it can lead to good conversations and reflection on this whole notion of, because this is such a touchy subject in Christian circles and even in Catholic circles about patriarchy, about the role of the father and authority and headship and all these kinds of things. I mean, these are buzzwords that trigger some people, but they are biblically based. So there's some application of this in real life, but it's I would say it's so easily abused that you've got to be very, very careful in how you apply this. And this is a cautionary tale, I think, in how not to do it and the problems that can result in the end. And a couple of the older Duggar daughters. One of them participated in this documentary, and Jim Bob's sister, the father's sister, participated in it, and their cousin did. And so you have family members who are coming out, speaking out against kind of this whole thing and the problems they see with it. So it's really sobering, interesting viewing.
Well, I just got bummed by the whole thing because, as you mentioned earlier, this was great for our family. Because then it made large families look kind of mainstream, look kind of normal, because we're a spectacle, you know, when we would go out and about. But then when this all came crashing down, we were guilty by association, Tom. I mean, people would joke with me and go, "Hey, Todd, what are you doing on the weekends?" I'm like, "Oh, my Lord, as if I have anything to do with the Duggars. Like, calm down, everyone."
Yeah, and not entirely dissimilar from the clergy sex abuse scandal, you know, when
exactly.
People find out you're Catholic, they're
exactly.
Like, well, what about the
yeah.
blah, 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 you know, and their guilt by association is such low hanging fruit for people. Such an easy shot to take that it's really unfair. I mean, people don't really do nuance in the day of social media, but they should. I mean, the Duggars, they're one kind of large family. They're not every kind of large family. So it's, you know, This is why we got to be reflective about these things and look at, well, why is what they're doing different and it's kind of odd versus what we're doing,
Tom,
you know, and that sort of.
Does it take any opinion on the fact that the Duggars had this TV show and it really put light on that faith? Branch of that faith? I mean, because a lot of people never would have known about the Independent Baptist and how they lived their lives short of watching the Duggars for a decade.
Yeah, well, that's a big point they make in the show, is that they seem to see the TV show as a way to draw people towards this institute and towards this philosophy of child rearing. And they kind of painted as a whole big movement. And, you know, now it seems as if Bill Gothard has been discredited himself. Charges were brought against him. And so he's no longer the head. And now, if my understanding is right, Jim Bob Duggar is the head of the Institute now. So even though they're not on TV, they're still very prominent. But another thing that always bothered me about the show, even aside from all this, that I thought was odd, was they filmed over 200 episodes of the show. And what kind of parenting is it that you subject your small children to TV cameras all the time, yeah, all year round for a decade?
Yeah.
I mean, that's problematic in and of itself. So that all of us, I mean, there's some blame to go around for those of us who watch the show, not to go, you know, I don't know if this is okay to do to these kids.
Mm-hmm. It does seem like that. So where can people watch? It's on Amazon Prime, right?
On Amazon Prime, it's called Shiny Happy People.
Okay. Tom McDonald, thanks for joining us today. What do you got? Is that the music, Mike?
Yeah, Shiny Happy People by
Eddie
Young.
Oh, I thought it was the Duggars music.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom, we'll talk to you next week. Bye. Oh, thank you, Mike. I get it now.
Yeah. R.E.M., baby.
Gina Christensen's joined the show next. How Vietnam formed a priest ministry in his life. So stay with us on L.A. Catholic Morning.
Jealous right now because I'm playing the Rambo theme.
Oh, is that
with Gina Christian and not him?
Oh, he's not going to come back on the show. Welcome to LA Catholic Morning. Todd and Ellen here. On the line with us, we have Gina Christian. She is the national reporter for OSV News. You can see all of her work at osvnews.com. And we're looking at an article you did 50 years later, New York priest still draws on Vietnam combat experience to minister to others. Good morning, Gina. Welcome.
Good morning. It's so good to be back with you folks.
Oh, you too. So I read your article and it really got me thinking, because we don't realize the effects of men and women that serve in combat, particularly in the military. And to find someone and talk with him who is now a priest, that he still takes and draws upon his experience there to help minister to people, is really beautiful. It's almost like finding the good out of such a painful experience. Is that right?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I spoke with Monsignor Charles Fink for probably the better part of an hour when we did this interview, and that was really my biggest takeaway, was how profoundly it affected his pastoral ministry. Because, you know, sometimes people who have been in combat can try to compartmentalize. I've met many people who said, well, you know, my parents or my uncle or, you know, whatever loved one was in combat but doesn't want to talk about it. It's kind of, that's a segmented part of their life, and they, you know, try to move on. But with Monsignor, the big takeaway for me was that he was able to take that experience of really what you're seeing is one of the worst experiences anyone can be through, you know, can endure. And he was able to find the healing in it, and apply that to people who didn't even have that experience. And he talked a lot about the sacrament of reconciliation, a true understanding of what God's mercy looks like, and what the process, and he really emphasized that, the process of our spiritual growth and healing in this life looks like. It's not overnight.
Yeah.
It can take years.
Yeah, especially because Vietnam was a lifetime ago, you know, for most people, you know, especially anyone under the age of 50 or 60, it's just a distant memory.
And just something for the history books.
Yeah. But it was real, and the pain was real. And when he shared a little bit in this article about how he was a soldier, how he was injured, and this was all before he became a priest, right, Gina?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah.
So to take that kind of pain and come out the other side, I'm just amazed.
And to do it at a time when, you know, he talks about this experience of before he wrote that poem, Barony with the Soldiers, he had been in seminary at that point. And, you know, those who remember, and I remember, I was a little girl at the tail end of the Vietnam War. Ooh, I just dated myself, didn't I? You know, but, you know, the veterans didn't have support. In fact, there was a real backlash against the war, and there were, you know, people protesting. And, you know, it shows the complexities of the experience. You know, even when people don't agree with a country being in war, we're still called as human beings to minister to those who have been in it. You know, we can't ostracize people, and, you know, who fought for a just and valid war. And even if we're unjust, I mean, there's still, you know, a call to encounter, to help heal, to help guide those who've endured that experience. But he talked about this experience of being in seminary, and no one else had been in the war. And not only had he been in the war, but he saw comrades killed in front of him. Himself, he himself was almost killed had not another comrade, you know, taken his place in a formation. And, you know, an anti-war activist came in and was basically characterizing the war as this, you know, completely unjust and wrong. And, you know, it inspired him to write that poem, Bury Me with the Soldiers, because he said, you know, and I'm quoting him from the article, "I thought then and now we had a legitimate interest there, that our mission was noble. If I really thought the whole thing was unjust and sinful, I wouldn't have gone. Mm-hmm. But we were invited to come. The South Vietnamese people were being taken over by communists. We didn't impose ourselves." And he also called out to how the war was portrayed in the U.S. media. Mm-hmm. I had asked him very directly, you know, did you see, because a lot of times those in the war were, you know, accused of doing a lot of drugs and, you know, because of the harshness of the conditions, finding some really maladaptive ways to cope. And he said, I have to be honest with you. He said, that did occur in places, but not to the extent that it was portrayed in the U.S. media. Mm-hmm. You know, so there were some real inaccuracies there. And he, the quote that really struck me too, was when he said, "I still feel our abandonment of those people," meaning the soldiers coming home, you know, or rather, I'm sorry, the South Vietnamese, "was a greater act of immorality than our being there in the first place."
Wow.
You know.
I talked to a gentleman who told me the whole thing. I mean, he just really opened up his heart to me, Gene, about it. And he said he went over when he was 18, and he was just young and an idealist and felt like he was really going there to help the people. And he said it was a crazy, he was there for 2 years, and he said it was just a crazy time of being in jungles and booby traps and going through rice fields, and he goes, it was just a completely different thing. And he said the real sad part is we left and we lost. And he goes, you can't change that part of history, but he remembers when he was getting on a plane, you know, he got in, I guess, through California, and he was getting on a plane to come home. And someone spit on him.
Oh, my goodness.
And he goes, Todd, you know, that's just not something that happens. And, you know, it wasn't thank you for your service. I mean, you know, somebody spit on him. And then he's like, man, you know, I just risked my life for 2 years. I watched some of my friends die. And you just spit on me? Like, we just can't even imagine this, can we, Gina?
No, we can't. And you know what? I think Monsignor Fink really spoke at length to me in our interview about, again, it's the complexities of, in one way, life is very simple, right? I have set before thee life and death, therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live, as, you know, the Bible tells us. But in the working out of that can lead us into some very profound moral complexities. And it's interesting because I remember speaking with, in fact, it was Father Mike Schmitz, and he had said that, you know, we've lost that sense. He said a lot of the young people he ministers to don't even have a sense of the moral theology, the moral categories, you know, of how these things work out. Many could not, I mean, he didn't say this, but many of those students probably could likely not articulate what the just war, you know, theory is. I mean, you know, huge aspects of our catechism and how we deal with evil. But in terms of, you know, and I think in some sense we're seeing this with, you know, the calls to defund the police and you know, kind of the backlash against that. And certainly there, you know, there are abuses in any time that humans have to go to war or use some form of violence to counter violence. You know, there's no question about that. But to so oversimplify it that you do not support the people who daily risk their lives, that you and I and all of us can live in some measure of order and safety, is a grave disservice to the men and women who have given their lives, who are giving their lives, and who will come after us to give their lives. You know, And we owe them a debt of gratitude and our heartfelt support to recover from those wounds. You know, we talk about the body of Christ, right? If one part suffers, as Paul says, all suffer. So can we not suffer with them? Can we not be compassionate and walk through their healing journey, which is part of our healing journey as well? And, you know, the thing is, we do find those commonalities. You know, one of the biggest things that and it really stuck with me, Monsignor Fink said, yes, there is confession and sacramental grace, and that's a lifelong gift and treasure that we avail ourselves of, but there's no quick fix for the pain of having been through a war, or the pain of losing a child, or the pain of recovering from an addiction, or, you know, the pain of a divorce. And he says, I love this quote, you can remove a level of pain just by getting people to accept the things they cannot change and to accept that they're different because of what happened to them. Let it change you and teach you for the better. This is not heaven, but these things can help you get to heaven if you learn from them. And that's the other thing. We think it's all this life sometimes, and Christians can be just as, you know, guilty of this, right, with not even thinking. We think it's all going to get worked out here, and it's not. It's not. We're creatures of you know, eternity, meant for a life, you know, meant for eternity with God. So, you know, for us to think it's all going to happen on this side is just not so.
It must have been very powerful to speak to him in person, I can imagine, Gina. We're speaking with Gina Christensen from OSV News. You can check out her article where she interviews Monsignor Fink and how that helped in his ministry. Because just the quotes you have in the article, Gina, the depth of him, it's like I want to have a conversation with him. Because you feel like you would sit across from him and he would get you. He would get you in your brokenness. He would understand. I imagine he's helped minister to a lot of Vietnam vets. And he must have a real calling for that, to helping injured and broken people.
He does. And the, what you hear in his voice is just this great calm and wisdom and compassion. And I think that, you know, it doesn't have to be like a big dramatic experience. In fact, you know, to talk to people who have that kind of calm and wisdom is more impactful many times than speaking with someone who, you know, is kind of like me, all over the place and had too much coffee and talks really fast. You know, I mean, those can be very energizing experiences. But when you're talking about subjects like this, when you talk to people who've had, you know, life experience, theological, you know, training and formation, obviously he's a Monsignor, and years of pastoral ministry, that's a richness, and it's almost like oil and balm to the soul. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you could see him talking to people who had been very broken and wounded. And one of the words he used, and I love this, was there are no, and he used this word, glib, you know, solutions here. People can be very quick to throw out the maxims and the aphorisms and the positive affirmations, and sometimes even the scripture verses. You know, it's easy to kind of pelt people with them when they're in pain sometimes. And sometimes what you really need to do is just sit and listen and be a presence for them, pray and fast for them, and all those things he does, and just stand in solidarity. You know, his poem is Bury Me with the Soldier, so widely circulated, and I believe that there is a copy that's part of, it was left at the Vietnam Memorial, and it's part of, you know, when people leave things there, I believe they have a collection of those things, and you can go on the website and they show you like a photograph of the image, and you know, and it's, and they maintain these things as a collection, so it's made its mark, you know, and it's entered into our history, and I think that's important, you know, and equally important too, I think, is to see a priest, you know, be part of that legacy. Mm-hmm.
And coming from those experiences, you know, we always talked about the World War II, the greatest generation. Mm-hmm. Because of the experiences that they went through, like, but by my friend that went through Nam, I mean, he tells the story of one of his friends that was wounded. He put him on his shoulders, you know, carried him like that image of the lamb, you know, on the shoulders of the shepherd, and his friend died while he was marching with him, and there was no way to give him any medical care. He died, and then he knew that he had died, so he's carrying his dead friend. Like, Gina, this is the kind of stuff that You know, we go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know, we're
exactly.
We're, and
I gotta
and,
wait too long in
right.
line.
And yeah. we complain mm-hmm. about the, there's mm-hmm. no parking exactly. spots close by, and it's right. hot outside. It's like we have not gone through this type of life experience. So I would have loved to have gone to confession to Monsignor Fink, mm-hmm. and
Can
look in
imagine?
Those eyes and go, dude, yeah. you have seen things mm-hmm. that I have never yes. seen, mm-hmm. right, Gina?
Yes, absolutely. And that's that's real. Right. That's pastoral guidance you can trust. It's literally battle tested, you know, and speaking of battle, I did want to note his favorite weapon is the rosary. Mm. And he said, you know, he's a convert. He was actually Episcopalian, and it was college philosophy courses that kind of led him to become a Catholic. But he said, you know, when he was over there and you know, one of the things, and I just couldn't imagine this because if I ever saw a mouse in my house, I call like 5 exterminators and mm-hmm. we have to, you know, just shut the
you
place
have to
down.
Move. Yeah, yeah. Said, I'm moving
you know,
out, Gina.
I'll be in a hotel for the week, you know, this isn't going to work. But he said that, you know, out in the field, he was sleeping on the ground with rats crawling all over him. Oh. And in the rainy season, he said, your skin would, he said, you know, when you sit in the bathtub too long, your skin gets wrinkled. He said, that was you for 6 months mm-hmm. because the rain was just so torrential. And then he's, you know, things like, of course, you didn't have access to restrooms or anything like that. He said, the rain was your shower because you weren't going to see, you know, a bathroom for weeks at a time, and the constant vigilance too. Actually, to circle back to that, you know, we had talked a little earlier about being out in the field. He said, you really didn't encounter the enemy directly as much. It was the presence of the enemy because of the booby traps. You know, you knew you were under sniper range. You were in sniper range. And he said a lot of the casualties were simply walking into the booby traps. But that the rosary was, he said, I prayed it every day over there. And I have ever since. And I think that speaks to the power of the rosary to just so completely connect you with our Blessed Mother, with the you know, the mysteries of our salvation. It's healing water to the soul and sanity. You know, everything about the rosary, it's so underappreciated, so in still so many ways, you know, as a gift for aligning body, mind, and spirit. It hits all the notes. It's tactile by holding the beads. It frees your mind by that beautiful repetition of, you know, mostly the Hail Mary into your mother's arms, meditating on Christ. It's the best weapon we could have in those situations. And he said that has been a powerful one through the rest of his life.
Wow. Gina Christian, thanks for joining us again. Always so good to talk to you. Check out all of her work.
Same here.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Gina.
OSVnews.com and our Sunday visitor there. Good stuff. Thank you, Gina.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
You too. Oh, final segment Friday. Father Chris Booten's joining the show with our Sunday Gospel Reflection. Stay with us.
In my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd's Professor with Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great, Reed on the line. Father Chris Booten, pastor of St. Martin of Tours in Troy and St. John's in Ozark. How are you, Father?
Good morning, Todd. Y'all doing okay?
Now we're better.
Thank you.
Because we got you on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And you also got his clone. You got Father Booten and Father Booten online.
Oh,
Lord.
I mean, Mike and his cast of characters, like, just throw me in there,
and,
I guess.
Yes,
know.
You're one of
Praise
many.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, so we got Corpus Christi.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Solemnity of the body and blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best days of the year. This is why we're Catholic. So let's delve into this a little bit.
All right. Come on, baby.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory
to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this weekend, we come to the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, and I was like, you know why Trinity Sunday last weekend is known as the preacher's nightmare? I think this weekend is one of the great joys about being a priest and getting to preach on Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, as I said before, this is what defines us as Catholics, the most blessed sacrament. So why we share a baptism with all other denominations of Christianity, and we have that common baptism. This is kind of where the fork in the road comes, and it's our belief in the Eucharist that separates us. And so I'll try to remind our people especially of this. Ignorant and uninformed opinions are dangerous, and they hurt people is kind of my message. So if you can just sum a couple of analogies, so Mike always wants me to work in a boxing analogy. So imagine, like, if you're a fighter, Floyd Mayweather, the best fighter in the world, shows up to your house. He's like, hey, I want to teach you how to fight. And you just be like, no, I know everything about boxing. You can go on your way. Or if you're a basketball player, you say, like, Michael Jordan shows up at your house to your family. He's like, hey, free lessons. I want to teach you your kids how to play basketball. And you're like, no, I have my own ideas on basketball. I think they're pretty good. Maybe it's not sports analogies. If you're a musician, Mozart shows up at your house. He comes back from the dead. And he's like, hey, I want to teach you how to play music. And you're just like, no, Mozart, I have my own ideas on music. I got my own opinions on what I should do.
I'm good.
Maybe a chef shows up, like Emeril Lagasse. I'm a big Cajun fan. Emeril Lagasse shows up, and the wife answers the door. He's like, hey, I want to teach your husband how to cook. I know the women are like, would love that right now. And you're like, no, he can figure it out on his own. So I have my own views on what we should be doing. So we would all agree that's ridiculous, and it's prideful, and it's arrogant if you were to do that to an expert in a field. So, but the reality is, like, this is how most people operate in their day-to-day lives. They're kind of just stuck in their own ways and the way they do things. They're stuck in their own opinions on how they should do things. A lot of people just refuse to grow and learn and become better. And the other reality is, like, this is how we treat Jesus Christ and his church. I mean, it really is. Jesus is not just an athletic figure, a musician, a chef, a philosopher, a moral teacher. He's the second person in the Most Holy Trinity. He's God.
Amen.
And so he clearly says today in the gospel, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. He clearly says it. My flesh is true blood, and my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. But if you were to go ask anybody, any other Christian out there about the Eucharist, you'll get a whole bunch of different opinions and answers skirting what Christ says. They'll give you an opinion. You ask even some priests and bishops in our own church, and you'll get a whole bunch of heterodox answers, and you'll get a whole lot of heretical answers. And quite frankly, they're all opinions, and those opinions are just prideful and arrogant at times, because, like, Jesus clearly says it, and he's the truth, So he says, you know, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I think that's the goal of all. That's the goal for all of us. It's like we want to remain in Christ. And this is how he says to do it. So, you know, ignorant, uninformed opinions are dangerous because the truth, which is the person, God, Jesus Christ himself, he says different. And he says, this is how you remain in him. And it's through the Eucharist is how we remain. You know, and that's, and so if you have a differing opinion on the Eucharist, you don't remain. I mean, this is simple logic here, people. It's like, if A, then B, therefore C. And he lays it out here in John's gospel. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life and I will raise you up on the last day.
Yeah.
Like, look. Like, people will say, like, yeah, you know, like, this isn't Father Chris Booten's opinion, by the way. I just didn't come on here this morning and be like, and I don't get up here on Sunday mornings where I'm going to preach this and be like, this is my opinion. No, this is what God says. Hmm. And I think we need to understand that. It's not like, you know, somebody saying strawberry ice cream is the best flavor. Peyton Manning is the best 2B of all time. Led Zeppelin is the greatest rock band of all time. Okay, those are opinions that don't really matter. They don't affect reality. But like this, we're dealing with our salvation. We're dealing with God here. So, and I'll say this bluntly too. You're not entitled to your own opinion. That's not a Christian view. You're not entitled to your own opinion on this. You're just not. You're entitled to one thing and one thing only, and you're entitled to the truth. And if you want to say you're entitled to your own opinion, people do this, you'll go down some dark roads on things that matter. You know, like, you know, I think the stats right now to our listeners, like one third of every child conceived in this country is aborted because people think they have an opinion to kill children. You know, if you're a business owner, we've seen this the last few years. If you're a business owner, like, would you like your stores to be looted and robbed and bricks thrown through your windows because people have an opinion that they are entitled to things? That would be ludicrous. And so you're just not entitled to opinions when it involves truth, because misguided opinions cause harm, they cause destruction, and ultimately they cause death. And so Christ, he literally says, this is my body. This is my blood. It's a noisy world. We all know this. Thank God I just don't like pay attention to it very much. I'm just too busy. But there's a lot of people in the world that do a lot of yapping nonsense and give their opinions about everything. And they, quite frankly, don't know anything about what they're talking about, especially the Catholic Church, especially the Eucharist. You know, one of the things I love about being a priest is celebrating the Mass every day, because I literally have an encounter with Christ in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Going every morning and sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament in prayer, like that's how you get to know God. And this is the good news. God loves us so much, he gives himself to us in the Most Blessed Sacrament, and we receive him to be more like him. And it's a slow, arduous task of holiness and to become a saint.
Amen.
The final point is, like, spiritual works. We talk about the corporal works of mercy a lot. The people forget about the spiritual works of mercy sometimes, which the world absolutely needs right now. And the two things I think that we can all probably agree on the spiritual works of mercy is instructing the ignorant and admonishing the sinner. It's actually a work of mercy. So you're not being merciful if you don't instruct the ignorant from dangerous opinions. You're not being merciful to just basically go along and get along and allow people to just like continually sin all the way to their destruction. You're just not being merciful. You're just quite frankly, you're almost being a coward because you just don't want to ruffle feathers. And it's not about being a jerk. It's actually about the spiritual works of mercy here. So our faith is a person. It's not an idea. And God loves us so much. He wants us to give us eternal life, to feed on him. And so, you know, I'm not here just spouting my opinion. I'm just telling you the truth of what Jesus Christ said this morning. So Corpus Christi, let's give thanks to God that he loves us this much. He gives himself in the Eucharist.
Wow. I mean, that came on pretty strong. I'm imagining myself that Father Putin would have more impact saying, you don't know what you're talking about than me. Because I think we see, it's true, Father. I think you just got more impact. But we see a lot of people that sit in the pew from the surveys that have been done that don't understand this passage and what you're saying. And Father Putin, what you're alluding to, that this is what Christ told us. And they have a hard time wrapping their heads around in our earthly way of the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ.
And oh, absolutely. This is a disturbing survey that came out from the Pew Research of like 70% of Catholics don't understand the Eucharist. Like, so what are we doing if we're not coming to the source and summit of the faith? What are we doing then? And so I think that's one of the things here that's happening in the country, and I love this, is the whole Eucharistic revival, which we did a couple years ago in the Archdiocese, but it's going to culminate in 2024 in Indianapolis. And there's literally processions coming from the four corners of the country, northeast, south, and west, that are going to converge for this Eucharistic revival. So I'm really excited about that, and I urge people really this weekend. Corpus Christi, hey, go receive the body and blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. There'll be processions, Corpus Christi processions, throughout the Archdiocese.
Amen. May we have your blessing before you go, Father?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father Chris Booten.
Thank you.
Smackdown, baby. Bringing it.
All right.
Bringing the rain.
Love it. Love y'all.
Oh,
love
you too.
Have a good God.
You too.
It's going to be so great. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Tool Expo. At Tool Expo, builders will find everything they need for the worksite. Tool Expo also delivers anywhere, locations in Pensacola, Orange Beach, Robertsdale, and Mobile. Visit toolexpo.com. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, Monday we'll talk with Ed Penton. He'll give an update on the Pope's condition. Tom Hoops shares his experience visiting Sister Wilhelmina's incorrupt body. And Rob Artigo has our West Coast news. And Kevin, what have we got going on with the Charlie Frequency this morning?
Catholic evangelist Jeremy Rivera, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we look at the legacy of the nun who made the news by returning from the grave in a very public way.
All right.
Right. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, 1410 event tonight, so we are going
to
have a good time and pray and do all good things and thank people.
God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.